Editor's note. Mr. Armstrong writes this as an open letter to the president of North Bay Regional Hospital, Paul Heinrich. Dear Sir, I am writing an open letter, not only to you but also to the wider community of North Bay and the surrounding area, concerning the recent decision to end the multi-faith hospital chaplaincy program at the North Bay Regional Health Center. This announcement was brought to my attention last week through the local media. See, major spiritual care changes at North Bay Regional Health Center. I believe this decision to end this funding was a mistake, and I would like it to be reconsidered. While this decision likely has come as a surprise to many, I have been concerned for some time about the current provision of spiritual care for the patients and staff at the North Bay Regional Health Center. I am writing, not simply as a spiritual person, who thinks it is helpful to provide concern and support to people who want it. I serve in a local Anglican parish, and I recognize, as I expect you do too, that there are patients and staff who identify within the stream of the Christian faith, and who look for the local church to function within the hospital as a community of care. I have three concerns. First, it is my understanding that a new computer system was introduced to the hospital during the COVID pandemic. One of the consequences of this new system is that patients' religious affiliation, if they wanted a pastoral visit, is no longer included. In the new computer system, patients need to indicate or opt in to receive care. This had the understandable effect that vulnerable, ill, and weak patients have to advocate for care, rather than it being available as a matter of course by the hospital staff. There is supposed to be a process so that patients can request their name to be included on a denominational or faith list, which can be shared with screened faith leaders at the hospital switchboard. This information can be added manually to the admissions list. I observe that when Anglican patients have asked to be included on this list, the hospital staff seem to be uncertain how to make this happen. I know that there have been patients who have made that request, and their names still have not appeared on the denominational list, days later. I anticipated that this new process would likely lead to patients not receiving timely pastoral visits when it was introduced to some local clergy and pastors at a presentation toward the end of the COVID pandemic. I offered to arrange for volunteers, screened to all hospital requirements to maintain confidentiality, to help rebuild the denominational lists, but was told this could not be done. I have experienced patients who are struggling to breathe, calling me on the patient's cell phones, and asking me to come visit. I have also experienced patients who go to the hospital, and hope for me to visit, but I don't know that they are in the hospital. After they recovered and came back to church, they mentioned that they missed me. I encourage family members to let me know if someone wants a visit. However, not everyone has family support. Sometimes, the family support patients may not attend the parish I serve. The practical consequence of this is that the number of Anglicans in the hospital who identify that they are open to pastoral visits has diminished very significantly since COVID. It is possible that suddenly Anglicans have become remarkably healthy. Far more likely, it is the current administrative procedures that inhibit the provision of pastoral care. A second concern I have is confusion about the availability of interdenominational worship services, which used to be provided regularly on Sunday afternoons for ambulatory patients and staff. Either they are not being offered at all, which is a problem, or the worship service times are not published clearly, which is a different problem. I used to take a worship service occasionally and was happy to do so. They would typically be relatively brief and informal worship services, attended by a handful of patients and families, or staff, often from the psychiatric units. It makes absolutely no difference to me if I conduct a worship service in the chapel or not. It does matter very much to me, however, that some worship leaders offer some form of Christian worship opportunities, for those who desire it, and benefit from it. A third concern I have is not so much to you directly, Mr. Heinrich, but the wider faith community as a whole. I know congregational leaders are quite busy, as well, the current administrative practices make it more difficult to identify congregational members in the hospital and to see them. I observe with concern that the number of faith leaders who visit the hospital regularly seems to have diminished over the years I have served in North Bay. I am aware of this because screened faith leaders need to sign in at the switchboard to access the list of patients of their denomination. The number of people signing in is very modest, given the number of people who are patients in the hospital. Evidently, Jesus of Nazareth looked for his followers to visit the sick, Matthew chapter 25 verse 36. If we do not make this expression of care a priority, and graciously and firmly express concern when the provision of care is threatened or diminished, then holistic pastoral care will continue to erode. If church leaders cannot make hospital visits a priority for whatever reason, then lay people who have the appropriate gifts can be raised up to provide effective ministry. While it is a little dated in some respects, particularly when writing about clergy or volunteers being able to access a list of inpatients, I have found Donald Peel's book, The Ministry of Listening, which has recently been reprinted, to be a helpful, practical resource to help equip lay people with appropriate training and sensitivity to undertake hospital visits, or to visit people who are homebound. Some hospital visits are simply pleasant, which is no bad thing. Often, we have the opportunity to provide love, care, and concern at times of grave illness, or when death is approaching, or to support families when a death has taken place. If we are speaking and acting graciously with the needs of hospital patients and staff uppermost in our minds, I have never encountered a patient who has felt that a pastoral visit has been unhelpful. For people operating within some faith tradition, the benefits of having appropriate spiritual care are obvious. For people who do not believe they have lives of faith, it is worth noting that there are numerous secular studies that demonstrate that the provision of spiritual care leads to better health outcomes and shortened hospital stays, which save money and help the healthcare system. See, for example, https://pmc.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov/articles/pmc10173268/ and https://hsph.harvard.edu/news/spirituality-better-health-outcomes-patient-care/. Many of us in the community recognize the enormous financial pressure that hospitals are under, with a great deal of sympathy and appreciation. It is cheaper, at least in the short term, to end a program than to continue to fund it. However, spending money to help provide good spiritual care is not a frill, but is a prudent investment in the health of our population. I hope that employment for interfaith chaplains by the hospital, who can provide support and care for individuals of any or no faith tradition, can be reinstated. I further ask that administrative processes be made less onerous, for patients to be able to receive appropriate spiritual care by volunteers in local faith communities, if the patients desire it. Lastly, I would like to state clearly the vital importance of healthy communities for healthy individuals. We live within a wider society that is remarkably fragmented, and in which a person's individual pursuit of life goals is thought to be paramount. We cannot function as healthy individuals without working toward a society that promotes good health, widely understood, for individuals within it. It is also my experience that working within a local healthy community of faith is profoundly beneficial for its members. I serve in a local parish, not because they pay me, although they do. I serve the way I do because I want to be part of a community that helps me to become more gracious, more loving, living the kind of transformed life that I believe to be profoundly worthwhile. I have seen people being healed in all kinds of wonderful ways by being part of a local faith community, and I long for all people to be open to the same kinds of opportunities. I appreciate your consideration, Mr. Heinrich. I look forward to a reply from you, so I know that you are engaging with the concerns I have expressed in this letter. Sincerely, Peter Armstrong, North Bay.